can come tumbling down.
Welcome to In the Garden. I'm Kelly Casey, and across from me is Shar Shar. How does your summer garden grow, Shar?
I am enjoying my perennials. I have finally gotten to the point where some perennials I've transplanted a couple of years ago are really in their prime. It takes a couple of years for them to come and bounce back, and I am really enjoying my transplanted daylilies now.
The lilies at my property are also doing really, really well. And we've had so much rain and we've had so much heat. I think this summer has been an up and down like a roller coaster. Right now, it's 30 degrees less than it was just about 48 hours ago. It really is. You have to be prepared for every kind of season. You really do. And our hearts go out to some of the people who had really strong winds. Right. I've seen a couple of wonderful, wonderful mature trees over just like that. People are cleaning up the refuse. So the summertime can bring bountiful harvests, but it can also bring a lot of damage. And a lot of people had hail from the first time. We dodged that. I'm so glad. But some people did have hail. So they were out examining their garden for damage. And we just hope the best for the rest of the summer with no more damage. Right. Well, we're going to be talking about a very enlightening and uplifting topic today. And most of the things that Shar is going to talk about, you'll find in your garden, if you're lucky, and those have wings to fly.
Friends of the gardener. And yes, I try to use them once every year. They're my favorite topic, butterflies, hummingbirds, and today we're going to add dragonflies to that roster. We'll start with the butterflies. I had a wonderful experience just in the last week. I grew some dill plants last year, and I wasn't careful about deadheading the seed head, and I hadn't used them all for pickling, obviously. And so they had millions of babies, and I was out there trying to weed because they were already forming new heads. And, I had to stop quickly because there were little caterpillars all over them. I counted, I think, 13 or 14, and they weren't the monarchs because monarch caterpillars are only on butterfly milkweed plants. And these were the black swallowtail. I looked it up to make sure. They're like black, green, and a yellow striping, and they were eating the leaves of the dill plant. So I stopped my weeding, let them all do their thing. We're down to, I think, a couple of them now. So somewhere they probably started their chrysalis process where they're hanging, and hopefully I'll have an abundance of black swallowtails.
Now, they don't do that on the same plant from which they eat?
No. They do crawl somewhere and do it, and I haven't seen it, so I don't know where they are. I walk carefully, let's put it that way. Monarch butterflies, I think by now most of us do know that the monarch butterfly loves the milkweed plant, and whether it's the common ditch milkweed or the domesticated milkweed, known as, there's a native kind that's called Asclepias tuberosa, but they've domesticated that even further into like yellows and whites and pinks even, and not the common ditch pink either. So the butterfly gets its nourishment from many garden plants. A favorite one in my garden that the monarchs seem to like are the large flowered zinnias. The butterflies can sit on the flower head and drink and rest all at the same time. I won't go into all the stages of the monarch butterfly, but just know that there are three stages during the course of a single year. Some butterflies on their way to and from Mexico and Minnesota have shorter lifespans than others. The ones we see here last in the autumn have the longest lifespans in that they really stock up on nectar nourishment just before fall arrives or the frost arrives, and then they start their long, long journey down to Mexico in a forested area that's actually not very big.
I've seen pictures of that. It's awe-inspiring.
The trees are just orange with butterflies. It's amazing. I would love to be there once. Moisture requirements for butterflies. They like to drink from low spaces, like a saucer in the garden. For some reason, I've never seen them at a bird bath, and I suspect it could be that birds might attack them and have a quick snack from them. Although there are butterflies and caterpillars that can be toxic or not good smelling to birds.
I heard that monarchs are not tasty for the reason that they ingest the milkweed, which is very bitter.
Right. There is something in the syrup or sap of a milkweed plant, and that is a big drawback for anybody trying to make a snack out of them. Also, I see monarchs and a lot of other butterflies just sitting on our gravel roadways out here in the country. I'm not sure if they're just warming themselves or if they're getting some type of nourishment out of the minerals in the ground. I'm not sure. Out here on a less traveled roadway, I try to dodge them so that I don't kill them. I wouldn't recommend that on a busier street or a roadway, but... There are also some other butterflies and moths that I would like to mention. I see a lot of in the summertime. The Fritillaria, which is kind of a spotted butterfly. A moth that's called the Azure Blue. Very tiny but beautiful blue. And there's one called a comma. It has a shape of a comma on its wing. And then the morning cloak, which is kind of a darkish butterfly. And, of course, the black swallowtail that I was referring to that likes to have its eggs on dill plants. Yellow swallowtails. And I've also seen a giant swallowtail, which is a lot bigger, a little different marking. And the way it flies and even the speed that it flutters its wings is different from the other swallowtails. And it doesn't come very often. It loves the flocks. When the flocks are in full bloom, you'll usually see them then. But just beautiful to see. Back to the monarchs. If you're ever lucky enough to find one of their chrysalis hanging from a branch of a plant in your garden, you'll be able to see something very much like a gold decoration on the pale green color of the chrysalis. It looks exactly like gold. Isn't nature amazing?
It is amazing. And one of my son's very favorite places to go when the state fair was on was the Butterfly House.
Butterfly House. I know exactly what he means. Yes. So as far as butterflies being a friend in the garden, they are definitely pollinators, spreading pollen from one blossom to another. So welcome them and protect them in any way you can. Hummingbirds. Well, I have to mention my hummingbird food recipe.
You have such great success.
I do.
I have one little one that comes back every year.
Well,
just one.
Well, that's something. That's something. So just remember the recipe. The ratio is 4 cups to 1 cup. 4 cups water to 1 cup sugar. You boil the water. Just bring it to boil. Take it off the heat. Add your 1 cup of sugar. Stir till all the sugar is dissolved. Let it cool. If it's too much for your feeder, just store it in the refrigerator in either a jar or a pan or something. But I usually have a flock of about a dozen out here, maybe a little less, and always one male, never more than one male. And of course, the male with his pretty neck, he's the one that you really want to see. It's just like neon red. It's just beautiful. I alternate between 2 feeders during the course of the summer. I usually fill them. They're good size, and I usually fill them every other day. So that's how much they drink. I used to use older style feeders that wouldn't completely come apart in the lower area where the feeder actually is, and that's not good because what happens is you can't completely clean them out and black mold will set in. The kind I use now, the identical ones, I can completely take the bottoms apart and get in there and clean really good. So it has to be clean in order not to spread any kind of disease amongst their little beaks. I prefer, and I have discarded some of my old feeders, if I can't completely take them apart so that you get that black mold out of there. If you do have a residue in your feeders or your bottom part of the feeder, sometimes a solution of vinegar and water will maybe get that out. But then again, I caution you on that. You want to make sure you get that vinegar smell totally, totally out of there, because they go for sweet smelling stuff. And to me, I think a hummingbird likes a sugar smell.
If you've got a really good feeder, you can also, if it says on the label, put it in the dishwasher and sanitize it.
Yes, if it says it's safe to do that. Exactly. And I notice at this time, middle of the summer, when they've had their two babies per nest, which must be just so tiny.
They're the tiniest of jelly beans.
And their eggs are like peas, you know, the size of a pea. But now is when they are actually feeding the babies bugs. And so the little yellow blossom type feeders that you'll see on the hummingbird feeders, they get full of dirt now. So that's when you have to really be fastidious about cleaning them. I usually take a Q-tip and take some of the cotton off, dampen that, and so I can get inside. And you want to get that dirt out. But it tells me that they've got babies and they're feeding babies right now. The latest I've had a hummingbird stick around is the middle of October. And I get really, really nervous, Kelly. I've read and
you're
read,
like an old mother hen.
I am. I make a log every day out there. Yes, you know, October 11th. Yes, you know, it just tells me. But the last couple of years, several years now, it's been around the 15th of October. Everything I've read many places, gone on the internet, and they say you should leave your feeder out as long as it's not frozen, you know, solid or anything. Leave it out until you no longer see a hummingbird come, because they know when to go. And sometimes it's just one. I can recognize the hummingbird by this time, you know, and it's sometimes just the one. And there'll be snow falling on it sometimes, and he'll or she'll be out there drinking. So I get nervous, but they leave when they need to, and they make their way across the Gulf of Mexico down to Central America and Mexico. It's just amazing. But as far as flowers in the garden that hummingbirds love, anything with a type of blossom or petal situation that they can insert their elongated beaks into, such as petunias, gladiola. They love bee balms. And yes, sometimes red does attract them better than others. Cannas are perfect. Nicotiana, which is also called the tobacco plant, has that type of flower. Phlox, perfect. And also I have a plant or a house plant called the shrimp plant, and it looks just like red shrimp hanging on the leaves, and they like that as well.
What about the wigelia?
Oh, yeah. You did it right. You did it right. That is pretty good. That's earlier in the spring, and so you don't see as many hummingbirds just then. Next category, and I know it's a favorite of one of your acquaintances, dragonflies.
Hats off to Barb.
Hats off to Barb, exactly. Now, dragonflies aren't maybe considered a friend in the garden, but trust me, they are. They eat mosquitoes in very large quantities, so encourage them to stick around. They're not known to be pollinators like butterflies, but still, because they are so good in mosquito control, in order to attract them to the garden, anything in the black-eyed Susan category, they love those. They also love wild yarrow, the kind with the white flowers. I'm not sure if they go for domestic yarrow plants, but at any rate, they are beautiful to watch. They're just a beautiful insect. The one danger they have are spider webs. They fly differently than other insects, so they often get caught in spider webs. True, spider webs catch flies and other nasties, but I'd hate to see a dragonfly caught in a spider web. They are so lovely, these dragonflies, and so beneficial. So next time you're out in the garden, keep your eyes open. You just might see some of those friendly flyers, the friends of the gardener.
I want to ask you too, Char, before we go, what about the dragonflies? Do you only find them where there's lots of water? Do they hatch from water sources then?
I have heard they hatch near water. I don't know what their requirements are, what they put their eggs on, but if you go to the lake or the cabin, you'll see more dragonfly there than anywhere else. They do love the water. They sit on the lily pads, and there's, well, mosquitoes. That's their main diet. Where do you usually find mosquitoes is where there's a lot of dampness going on. So where mosquitoes hatch, they're probably right where the mosquitoes are hatching. So yes, you will find more there.
I have a couple of other questions too about the butterflies. So many people are so concerned about pollinators, and we're talking about butterflies and hummingbirds and dragonflies this time. But of course, the bees also are friends in the garden. And sometimes you have to stay out of their way, granted.
Right.
But they also are very fragile. You have to be very careful that things are not contaminated. Now, you were talking about your hummingbird feeders. And where do you hang them? Is there a certain place in the garden, in and out of the sun, that's more productive to keeping those diseases from forming?
Not so much sunlight. I've seen people hanging them in full sun.
As far as positioning hummingbird feeders, I have mine on the east side of the house in afternoon shade. Sometimes the direct sun shining on the sugar water will degrade the solution a little bit and attract more flies and bees in the afternoon. That would be the only reason. And of course, another reason not to hang it too low to neighborhood kitty cats, because they are fascinated by the hummingbird activity. So just moderate height. The only other thing that might be helpful is they like the color red, but don't add the red food coloring to the sugar water. It isn't necessary. Often the feeder itself will be in red plastic, so that is enough of a draw. And I do think they are attracted to the color red. But other than just sugar water, as long as you have some type of blooming plants in your garden, that will suffice for their nectar needs. And then also, I have a tip for the listeners. And when we were talking about hummingbirds liking to drink from phlox flowers, which are in bloom midsummer, right about this time of the year, don't forget when those phlox finish blooming, don't forget to deadhead them or cut their heads off, the seed heads off, because you will get a multitude of volunteer phlox the next year. Now, that's fine if you want additional phlox plants, but they can get out of hand. So just a tip there to keep those clipped. Sometimes they have a little bit of a rebloom on that very head, but chances are they won't look as nice as when they originally were in full bloom.
Yep. Well, as we go through every Wednesday in the garden, we certainly welcome your tips and comments. You can send them to inthegarden@kdwa.com. Thanks so much for being here, Char.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy gardening, everybody.
See you next week. That's In the Garden for today. Remember to tune in for our next program with host Char Char. We'll bring you a full season of information on all things green and growing, from foliage to flowers, veggies to patio planters. We'll share our love for gardening thanks to these fine sponsors.